Chapter 45. No restraints, no chains. Clearly, they thought I was afraid of the dart gun, which I was, to a degree. Not because I fear small puncture wounds, and not because I have anything against sleep, in and of itself. I like sleep as much as the next guy, but I didn't want to waste any more time. I felt like I couldn't afford another 8 hours on my back. The room was populated exactly as Jacob Mark had semaphored it. The main guy was already sitting in the center chair. The guy who had fitted the chains that morning was the one who had brought me in, and he left me in the middle of the room and went to take his place at the table on the main guy's right. The guy who had wielded the Franke was standing off to the left, with the dart gun in his hands. My possessions were still on the table, or they were back on the table. I doubted that they had been there while Jake or Lee had been in the room. No point. No reason. No relevance. They had been laid out all over again, especially for me. Cash, passport, bank card, toothbrush, MetroCard, Lee's business card, the phony business card, the memory stick and the cell phone. 9 items. All present and correct. Which was good, because I needed to take at least 7 of them with me. The guy in the center chair said, "Sit down, Mr. Reacher." I moved toward my chair, and I felt all 3 of them relax. They had been working all night and all day. Now they were into their 3rd straight hour of interrogation. And interrogation is heavy work. It demands close attention and mental flexibility. It wears you out. So the 3 guys were tired. Tired enough to have lost their edge. As soon as I headed for my chair, they moved out of the present and into the future. They thought their troubles were over. They started thinking about their approach, their first question. They assumed I would get to my chair and sit down and be ready to hear it, be ready to answer it. They were wrong. Half a step short of my destination, I raised my foot to the edge of the table and straightened my leg and shoved. Shoved, not kicked, because I had no shoes on. The table jerked back, and the far edge hit the 2 seated guys in the stomach and pinned them against their chair backs. By that point, I was already moving to my left. I came up from a crouch at the 3rd guy and tore the dart gun up and out of his hands, and while he was all straight and exposed, I kneed him hard in the groin. He gave up on the gun and folded forward, and I high-stepped and changed feet and kneed him in the face, like a folk dance from Ireland. I spun away and leveled the gun and pulled the trigger and shot the main guy in the chest. Then I went over the table and battered the other guy in the head with the dart gun's butt, once, twice, 3 times, hard and vicious, until he went quiet and stopped moving. 4 noisy, violent seconds from beginning to end. 4 discrete units of action and time, separately packaged, separately unleashed. The table, the dart gun, the main guy, the 2nd guy. 1, 2, 3, 4. Smooth and easy. The 2 guys I had hit were unconscious and bleeding. The guy on the floor from a shattered nose and the guy at the table from a gash to his scalp. Next to him, the main guy was on his way under, chemically assisted, the same way I had been 2 before. It was interesting to watch. There was some kind of muscle paralysis involved. The guy was sliding down in his chair, helpless, but his eyes were moving like he was still aware of things. I remembered the whirling shapes, and I wondered if he was seeing them too. Then I turned and watched the door to the 3rd room. There was still the medical technician unaccounted for. Maybe others. Maybe lots of others. But the door stayed closed. The 3rd room stayed quiet. I knelt and checked under the 3rd guy's jacket. No Glock. He had a shoulder holster, but it was empty. Standard procedure, probably. No firearms in any closed room with a prisoner present. I checked the other 2 guys. Same result. Government-issue nylon shoulder rigs, both of them empty. The 3rd room stayed quiet. I checked pockets. They were all empty. All sanitized. Nothing there at all except neutral items like tissues and lonely dimes and pennies trapped down in the seams. No house keys, no car keys, no phones. Certainly no wallets, no badge holders, and no IDs. I picked up the dart gun again and held it one-handed, out and ready, moved to the third room's door, swung it open and raised the gun and pretended to aim. A gun is a gun, even if it's empty and the wrong kind. It's all about first impressions and subliminal reactions. The third room was unoccupied. No medical technician, no backup agents, no support staff, nobody at all. Nothing there except gray office furniture and fluorescent light. The room itself was the same as the first two. An old brick basement chamber painted flat white, same size, same proportions. It had another door, which I guessed led onward, either to a fourth room or a stairwell. I crossed to it and eased it open. A stairwell. No paint beyond an ancient, peeling layer of institutional green. I closed the door again and checked the office furniture. Three desks, five cabinets, four lockers, all gray, all plain and functional, all made of steel, all locked, with combination locks, like the cells, which made sense because there had been no keys in the agent's pockets. The desks held no piles of paper, just three sleeping computers and three console telephones. I hit space bars and woke up each screen in turn. Each one asked for a password. I lifted receivers and hit redial buttons and got the operator every time. Extremely conscientious security. Painstaking and consistent. Finish your call, dab the cradle, dial zero, hang up. The three guys weren't perfect, but they weren't idiots either. I stood still for a long moment. I was disappointed about the combination locks. I wanted to find their stores and reload the dart gun and shoot the other two agents with it. And I wanted my shoes. I wasn't going to get either satisfaction. I padded my way back to the cells. Jacob Mark and Theresa Lee looked up, looked away, looked back. Classic double takes, because I was alone and I had the dart gun in my hands. I guessed they had heard the noises and assumed I was getting smacked around. I guessed they hadn't expected me back so soon. Or at all. Lee asked, "What happened?" I said, "They fell asleep."
"How?"
I guess my conversation bored them.